you know, we were doing ministry in the jail, and we were doing healing services and all kinds of stuff. And one day the Lord said to me, because I had a cold, and I didn't want to lay hands on anyone. I didn't want to transfer anything. So the Lord said to me, I want you to call this guy that was just sitting there in the service. He said, call him up, give him the anointing, and I'll go tell him to go anoint that guy over there who has cancer. He's got prostate cancer. I said, okay. And he went over, anointed the dude, and we decreed that he be healed, and God healed him. He felt the heat go through him and healed his prostate and went to the doctor, and he was perfectly fine. He was because he was in agony and pain sitting there. The pain went away. It's just about being obedient. God can use anyone that's obedient. Amen. He uses the wicked, even though they're disobedient, but he causes them to do his will. Amen. So never lose sight that God has control over everything. Amen. He's got control over everything. And we as his sons and daughters just want to be obedient to what he's doing. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. And it's obedience that brings pleasing to the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, please. Little children, let no one deceive you. Let nobody what? Deceive you. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. Fear. Don't be deceived. Don't be misled. Don't be lied to. Don't be cheated. Don't let the enemy do these things to you. It says, he who practices what? Righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now, he who sins, that's, you know, again, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, his power is fear. Those that promote or practice things that cause death is sin. If you are promoting or practicing things that cause death, it's called sin. Amen? What is sin? It's the presence of evil. So you're allowing the door to be open to the presence of evil that causes death. Verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. If you look at the word devil, it's de-evil. You turn it around, it means live. So the opposite of live is what? Dead. That's where the devil comes from. He's a promoter of death, not life. For this purpose, the Son of God was what? Manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not associate or promote things that cause death. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. Doesn't promote death. Only death to self. Amen. Death to self. But we promote life. So it says to destroy. So when God is destroying something, before he destroys it, he dismantles it. And there's a dismantling going on right now. And there's something very powerful that's being dismantled. And we've talked about this before. But sometimes, you know, we need to be refreshed or renewed or go deeper into something. Dismantling is the actual removal of something so it can be destroyed. But first, you can't dismantle something unless you know what you're dismantling. Amen? And one of the things that God is dismantling is the curtain, known as the veil. It's the veil that blinds. He's dismantling it globally. That's why all of the stuff is being exposed. That's why everything is coming to the light. You know, I was watching some of the investigations and questions that they had in Congress. And the woman that was in charge of the security, especially for Trump's meeting and whatever, and what is that, huh? Secret Service? Boy, they ripped her apart. They told her she was full of everything, and she was a liar, and she should quit, be fired. Why? Because God is dismantling the individuals that are holding the veil up so it can be brought down. The curtain is going to be dismantled. The veil is being dismantled all over the world. It's a global dismantlement. Why? So humanity can see the evilness and they can come to the light. They've got to understand darkness before they can understand light. Unless they know that they're in darkness, they won't go search for the light. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because God is revealing to them that there's a way of escape. There's a way of escape. In Genesis chapter 3. And verse 4 says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die.'" Why? Because God said, if you partake of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. And the serpent called God a liar. It's really simple. He says, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be what? Open." But he lied, didn't he? They would be closed. Does everybody understand that? They would be closed. To what? The true reality. Why? Because I used to walk with God in the garden face to face. God spoke to them face to face. The serpent knew this. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." But the serpent lied. The devil lied. The shapeshifter lied. The imitation of an angel of light. He lied to the woman. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were what? Open. But they were actually closed. They were veiled. And they knew that they were naked. Why? Because they no longer... This is where self was birthed. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Why? They were ashamed. They never knew that. So self was birthed at that moment. Then they heard the sound... And they made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of day. Why? Because they could not see him no more. In fact, they couldn't even see the serpent no more. Everything changed. Everything disappeared on them. Does everybody understand? And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God Almighty among the trees of the garden. Why? Fear. Fear. What does darkness promote? Fear. What does deception promote? Fear. And the Lord called to Adam and said, "Where you be, man?" But God knew where he was. And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Why? He couldn't see him. He could only hear him. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you were afraid? Did you partake of that tree I told you not to?" And he said, "Yes." God said, "You idiot." In, you know, layman terms. In other words, he blew it. And from that point on, the fall of man brought the birth of self and blindness. And everyone born in this world now is born with veils to the true reality. Deception and fear. Again, you can't see fear. It comes from the presence of evil, darkness. It influences. It promotes self. So from the fall of man, birth self. And blindness or veiled to true reality. Deception and fear. They couldn't see no more. They couldn't see fear because it comes from darkness. Why? They began to walk in darkness. Darkness. You know what happens when you go into a place and your lights turn off? Everybody knows that there's a sense of fear that you can't, that comes no matter, I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. There's that sense of not being able to see, which brings what's there. I might get a trip over or something. Now, it doesn't mean that the fear is terror. Sometimes it means it's concern. I better hold on. You know, the lights go off in your house and you're on the top of the stairs. You better grab hold of the railing. You know, you got to use wisdom to that degree. But again, when the lights go out and darkness is there, there's that sense of fear. And again, it can be protective, but it can also be tormenting. And many people are walking in darkness and don't even know it. It's called veiled. They're what? Veiled. It's like a curtain. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose what? Heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, which is the message of truth, it is veiled to those who are what? They're perishing. Why? Because they're still walking in darkness. They're veiled. They can't see. Their minds can't receive. Their hearts can't receive. Whose minds or thoughts the God of this age has blinded. Who do not believe. Lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Light out of darkness. Why? Because they were in darkness. Now they've gotten into the light. So light is now shining out of the darkness. Who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. The God of this age has blinded or veiled humanity since the Garden of Eden event, since the fall of Adam. And keeping humanity in a dark place, unable to see the truth of the reality. They are blue-pilled, not red-pilled. Amen? You're born in a blue pill, but you must be born again to get the red pill. All of these things that you're seeing, the assassination of Trump, all of this, it's all being played out so humanity's, so the dismantlement of the veil can be brought forth and humanity can see. Many people are turning from their organizations and their promotions of parties and so forth because they're realizing they've been deceived. They've been veiled. And now that veil is being removed, but it's being removed globally. More and more individuals are stepping down and not going for re-election. They're resigning, thinking they're going to get away with it, but they're not. You can resign, but you can't outrun. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. It's been covered since the fall of Adam. With what? Darkness. And deep darkness on the what? People. They've been veiled. But the Lord will rise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. Us, believers, followers. The Gentiles shall come to your light. This is all coming. And kings of the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy like never before. Because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. And the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Hallelujah. Darkness covers the earth. Deep darkness of people. Veiled. They're blinded. But many people will see your light and will cause the veil that they carry to be exposed. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their thoughts, their minds were blinded. For until this day, that same veil, that same curtain, that same blindness remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil was taken away in Christ. So they're still reading the Old Testament and the veil ain't coming off. That's why he rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees. Only Christ can remove the veil. Only anointing can remove the veil. But see, there's still many believers who still are half veiled. The veil is not completely. Some of them are still sleepwalking. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts also besides their minds, so they can't receive. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Taken away. Now watch this. Now the Lord is the what? The Spirit. That means when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, that veil gets taken off. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom or liberty. But we all with unveiled face, well, no, it's been taken off. Beholding as in a mirror glory of the Lord are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory just by the Spirit of the Lord. So he's saying, look at, you've been you're looking in him, that veil's gone. We've been born of the Spirit. We now have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to follow. We are carriers of light. We are unveiled by the Spirit of the Lord. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why there's still many believers who are still walking half-veiled. Why? Because it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that breaks every yoke, including that yoke of the veil. That's why there's so-called believers, and I'm not saying that they don't believe Jesus, but they're deceived still because of that veil. They walk around with skull and crossbone t-shirts. I mean, let's think about why. What does a skull and crossbone represent? Death. They're still walking around with logos of bars and stuff like that and promoting marijuana. And they think it's okay. They're actually lying to themselves because they're deceived. And they're using the marijuana to get high and proclaiming it to be a medical thing. There's a lot of people out there doing that. They're so-called Christians. But they're not being honest with themselves. Why? Because they're at half mass. I'd like to say something else, but anyways, they're half mass. Hallelujah. Acts 9, please. In verse 17. So we just call them half mass. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're not religious? You'd have been thrown out of the church if you laughed at that. Anyway. Praise God. Acts 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your what? Oh, snap. To receive your, in other words, that the blindness may be removed, that curtain may be removed, that scale may be removed. Now, did Saul believe he was killing for God, didn't he? He thought he was doing the right thing, murdering women, children that were followers of Christ, imprisoning them, torturing them, throwing them into the lion's dens and everything else, believing he was doing this for God. But God knew his heart. That you may receive your sight, and then the second thing is be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, receive sight and maintain sight by the Holy Spirit. Receive sight and then maintain that sight by the Holy Spirit. See, because when you lack, when you do half mass worship, you're not pressing in. You're not crossing over where that veil maintains off. I'm telling them, when you do half mass worship, when you do things half mass, the veil starts to come back. See, the enemy's ploy is to get that veil back over us again, to reveal us. And the more you drift from God's presence, the more you drift from his worship, the more you drift from his word, the more you don't truly believe. If you're still trying to prove, see if God prove yourself to me, he ain't got to prove nothing. He already did when he did it on the cross. And then he rose again. Amen. So he doesn't have to prove anything. We're to be seeking and groping after him. You want something, you chase him. That's why the Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all things will be added to you. He doesn't have to prove anything to us. Amen? Praise God. So in this, we want to be not only receive the Holy Spirit to receive sight, but maintain the presence of God that we may maintain this sight so that those scales and veils are constantly removed. You know, Jesus gave a powerful statement. He said, let the blind lead the blind. These were people that were still veiled. He said, don't waste your time. They keep rejecting. You know, again, our responsibility is to plant seed. Only God can deliver someone. It's the presence of God. So in the Holy Spirit, when that seed is planted, the Holy Spirit has something to work with. In other words, that seed planted, seed of righteousness. Even when the Ten Commandments, when we were kids and if we had to know the Ten Commandments, that still convicted us. The Holy Spirit had something. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Not you had any power to say, okay. We did it anyways. Because our hearts were hardened, we were still veiled, and there was that conviction wasn't strong enough for us. We would just it just bounced off of our hardened hearts. Matthew 27, verse 32. Now, as they came out, they found a man of Syrians, Simon, by the name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. They crucified him, Jesus, and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down as they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of Jews. They didn't know that they're prophetically proclaiming him as king. Then two robbers who were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. The one on the right was red-pilled, the one on the left was blue-pilled. And those who passed by blasphemed, wagging their heads, and saying, you who destroyed the temple, build it in 3 days. Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and the elders. So they were all mocking him. And said, he saves others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him, now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. This was not only about the Passover, the Feast of Passover, but it was a prophetic moment. Darkness. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there when they heard it thought that he said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran over to took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. But he wouldn't accept it. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold the what? The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split. 3 hours of blindness. Does everybody understand it? Jesus went on the cross. He brought 3 hours of blindness. Darkness means spiritual blindness. The veil was dismantled. The veil was dismantled when he yielded up his spirit. And access was granted to those who would follow Jesus. That's why he's known as the way, the truth, and life. It started at the temple, at the house of God, to humanity, to become unveiled, and they became his temples. So everybody understand it. With vision and sight. And look at verse 52. And then the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. In other words, they weren't literally, they had died during Jesus' ministry. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. I think it was probably the most revival day that there was. And so when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, and probably some of their aunts and uncles who had been risen from the dead, and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, reverenced greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of Man. Wow. So again, the shaking and quaking heard and seen as the graves opened, then coming out of the graves as Jesus rose from the dead, dismantled the veil of deception and false reality to his followers, and to only to his followers. Others were still veiled. But that's where it started. It had to start at the house of God. The Bible says the judgment starts at where? The house of God. And God destroyed that veil, that dismantled that veil, that blindness at the house of God. 1 Corinthians 2, please. Verse 6. However, we speak what? Wisdom. Among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age or this world, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Why? Because they're blinded. They're still veiled. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. If you love him, you obey him, you follow him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's why humanites don't understand what you're saying, because you're no longer a human, you're eternal. You're a different being, you have a different DNA. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of God, the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the thoughts and the mind of Christ. Christ. The natural man, no sight, no understanding of true reality of the Spirit. Only those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit does the complete veil come off. Then it's our responsibility to keep it off. That's why people backslide and go back. Why? Because that veil is starting to come on. Amen? Matthew 10:34. Dismantling the veil of deception, the curtain. It's the dimensional veil also. Verse 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? A sword. A sword for what? To dismantle the veil. Amen? For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be of the household, of their own household. And he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, many people come to Christ and they believe that they're going to get all cleaned up, washed up, smelled up, and fed up, and filled up, and fattened up, and go back to their own life. Well, once I get all, then I can go back to my old life. Well, they're still veiled. Hallelujah. The sword to dismantle the veil of deception. You and I have been granted it. We got to use it. But you can see the dismantlement all over the world. And people are more and more awakening. They're exposing illegal voting now. People are exposing that. In fact, I think it was it France or somewhere that the election that it messed them all up, man. Now a righteous person's won president. They're all everywhere. It's going crazy because people are, the veils are being removed. That dismantle what God has ordained right now to dismantle. So people can see and believe. Amen? So they can come after Christ. Isaiah 35 in verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be what? Opened. Woohoo! And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land, springs of water. The inhabitants of Jekylls, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Praise God. So we see eyes open and deaf here. Why? Because of the light. The light has come. You and I are witnessing all these things in our life. Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he is promising, yet once more I shake not only the earth but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain, believe me, those who are totally unveiled will remain. Amen? They won't be shaken. Those that are veiled will be shaken. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. This is the removal of the veil. That's why God is shaking everywhere, everything. Give an opportunity for people to run to the light and come out of darkness. in Psalm 119, verse 104. It says, through your precepts I get understanding, though therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my what? Path. In other words, so you can see, a word is a lamp and a light to my path, to my feet. Why? So you can see. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word of promise. Accept, I pray, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. And I'm going to close at Isaiah 42, verse 1. Are you the Lord's servant? Amen. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. Does God delight in you? I put my spirit upon you. And he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. You will not cry out nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for the truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastline shall wait for his law. Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and the spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant as to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open what? Blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So we are hearing about things that God is about to release. But what is he doing right now? Dismantling the curtain, the veil over humanity and over the world. Over the complete earth. Exposing all the corruption. Exposing wickedness. Exposing all the inhumane acts. All the treasonous acts. All the lies. There is so much that's being exposed. It's overwhelming. But it's causing people to run to the light, even though they don't know it. People are searching for the truth. They want answers. Amen? And that's where you and I come into play. Because we know the answer. His name is Jesus. Praise God. So, Father, we are honored and blessed. We thank you for your word tonight. As I apply the blood of Jesus on the seed that's been planted in us so it will grow and bear fruit for your glory, so that we understand our true identity, our true DNA, which is you. And I pray for each and every one here tonight that's been anointed. Let that anointing break every yoke of bondage. And any area where any scales or veils or blindness has come back upon them in any way whatsoever, whatever measurement, I decree in the name of Jesus that it be broken, that they see full sight, deliverance and healing to their bodies, restoration. All sickness, disease, loose and leave them and go to the pit. All pain and agony. Breaking off every word from a doctor. Breaking off every word from themselves. And breaking them from all emotional attachments. So that their identity is in you. Knowing the full benefits. That you forgive our sins and iniquities and heal our diseases. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.